This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning to you and yours. Tuesday, April the 13th, 2021. The show is, as always, DCR from 5 to 8 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Like we always do, we bring everybody in and we say good morning, salutations, all that kind of stuff. Good morning, Chris Canty. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Dave. Hanging in there. How are you guys doing this morning?
Rick, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. The question is, how are you with the two new puppies? How are you doing?
I'm not exaggerating. It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, this is like having two newborn babies. It's very difficult.
I'm so mad at you right now too.
Why?
Because Cassie turns the radio on when she comes downstairs with the kids.
Right.
To listen to the rest of the show. And they heard us talking about your puppies. So of course Cassie goes to the iPhone to see the puppies. Mm-hmm. And Ella, who's been begging me for a dog, sees the puppies. And she's like, "Dad, are those both Dave's dogs?" I said, "Yeah, brother and sister." Dave felt bad, so he got both dogs.
No. Not Dave felt bad. Sherry felt bad. And that's why we end up with two. If Dave felt bad, we'd have one. Okay?
So now, all day yesterday, "Dad, we should get a dog, too. I think we should really get it. I'll take care of the dog. I promise. I'll take care of it."
Yeah. And I know that you know better. Just to give you a little bit of insight into that, we had both of them, and we have older kids, so it in theory should be easier for us. 10-year-old, 14-year-old. Oh, we promise. We will do. We promise. Yesterday is the first full day at 7 o'clock. "Ben, can you do us a favor? Take out the dogs. We have to clean up the urine on the carpet." I've already done enough today, I think. I think I've maxed out. I'm like, "What? Excuse me? I'm pretty sure I've done enough today. You guys can handle it from here on out." What? I thought Sherry was going to rip his head off from the shoulders.
But you knew what you were signing up for. You knew every kid says, "Don't worry, I promise, I'll walk the dog.
But
I'll pick
Alex,
up the poop."
Alex so desperately, so he's like, I'll take them out for a walk, guys. I got it. I'll do it. He'll do anything. And he gets them outside, and you hear, "I need help. I need help." So now you got to run out and help Alex with the, it is going to be unbelievable. 1:15 this morning, they're barking because my wife is saying, I said, let me go take them out and settle them down. No, she says, "You have to wake up at 4 o'clock. I got it. I will take them out." So, yeah, no, it's terrible, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I don't know if you really thought through.
No.
Is, so, you have a 14-year-old.
Right.
Like, I mean, these dogs are going to live till they're, hopefully, fingers crossed.
15, 13, sure.
Yeah, 15 years old.
Right.
So, your kids are going to be gone.
Well out of the house.
But well out of the house.
We love dogs, so we're happy to have the dogs. And by the time the kids are out of the house, the dogs should be sensational. It's the first, you know, little bit of time that it's going to be very, very difficult.
Have you thought about going the route of having a doggy door, Dave? Allowing the dogs to come and go to do their business.
No, but we're going to get a wireless fence at some point in the next couple months. So at some point, we'll just be able to open the front door and say, you know, "Get out of here, go," and then they come back when they're ready to. But
okay.
they can't do. Chris, I'm not exaggerating. They're infants. Like, when you have a little baby at some point, it will not be far different than what I am dealing with right now.
So they can't do anything for themselves
anything,
right now.
Anything. And they think play, because they're 9 weeks old, so they have no idea how to appropriately play. So he attacks her yesterday. It's his sister. He's known her, you know, since birth. He attacks her. And we're like, what are you doing? And he just like looks up at you and then he starts peeing all over the place. Yeah. This is the life that I lead. So these 3 hours, thank you guys. I mean, keep us on for 5, 7, 12. I'll do a 24-hour marathon on the air here just to avoid the hell that is upstairs waiting for me at some point.
I love that Alex radios in for backup when he tries to stick him outside.
He's outside and you're, I need help. I need help. Like as he was taking you know, incoming mortar or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that Sherry signed up for another Dave in the house. We have that. Essentially, she has 3 Dave Rothenbergs living in the house right now.
What does that mean?
That she has to take care of.
I'm not as needy as the dogs, though.
Oh, pretty close. Pretty close.
I can use the toilet.
You can drive a car. That's about it. That's the only difference.
Great with vendors, too, Rico.
I'm starting to question that whole vendor thing.
I'm great with vendors. What do you mean you question the vendor thing? What the hell?
I'm starting to question the vendor thing. I feel like we're moving away from the whole vendor. After how you handled the snowplow situation.
You weren't great with the snowplow guy, Dave. You weren't great with that situation.
Yes, I don't want the double plow today.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I think that that's very necessary to remember.
So speaking of infants, so I had Rocco last night. So he hasn't pooped in a couple days. And Cass is like, oh.
Days?
Well, yeah, but he gets... Well, because we started him, he's on food now. So once you make that transition from just breastfeeding to the food, sometimes you know he'll get a little bound up.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was like for you when you were like 6 and that happened, or you don't remember? when you were asking for can I have a
hey mom, I'm gonna filet. Need some I'm gonna need some Imodium with this.
Mom, listen, I'm backed up now. Can I get a filet and some green beans as well?
Mom, I'm gonna need you to start eating more fiber. I'm all bound up right now. No, so anyway, so she's freaking out, right? Like she's like, do we have to call the pediatrician? I'm like, relax, it's only been a couple days. I'm sure at some point he'll poop. So he finally goes to the bathroom yesterday. Like just as we're getting ready to take him up to bed, he decides he's gonna go to the bathroom, which is great. So she's all pumped up and I grab him like, oh, good job, Rocco. You did poop. Yeah. And I give a big hug and a kiss. And then, you know, Cass takes him to go bring him up while I'm finishing up downstairs. So all of a sudden, I'm like, God, what is that smell?
Oh, God.
That did not smell good. Is that could that still be the baby's diaper, like, in my nostrils? So I finished doing my thing where I'm shutting off the stove and I close the freezer and everything else.
Checking, triple checking.
Alarm, stove, refrigerator, freezer. So I get upstairs and Cass goes, oh, I was gonna text you. Do you have any poop on you? I was like, what do you mean? Do I have any poop on me? She's like, oh yeah, the baby had a blowout. There was poop everywhere. I looked down on my shirt and I got baby poop all over my shirt.
Well, you didn't know you had it all over you?
How would I know? I couldn't feel the poop on the shirt. I could smell something.
I understand, but if it stunk to that level, I'd figure you might look to make sure you didn't have any like on your hands or anywhere on your body, no?
But why would I? Why would in that moment
because
be
it
like,
stunk.
You know what? I gave the baby a hug, and there's probably poop on his chest. I just thought that the poop, you know, sometimes you get the baby poop smell so bad, it like just gets stuck in your nostrils, and you can't get rid of it.
Yeah,
I was like, maybe it's just that. I guess that's my bad, but I looked down and just the whole... The whole shirt just
You're probably thinking, I wonder if I have a little smidge on me and the whole shirt is covered. All right, well, these are the hijinks that you're going to get for the entire day. CMT coming your way at 6:45. Mike Tannenbaum, we're going to be very timely for that crazed man when it comes to the clock. 7:35 this morning, Tannenbaum is going to join us. The draft is 2 weeks away from Thursday. But guys, we'll get into Sam Darnold as well. Obviously, a big story. He spoke for the first time yesterday. Guys, the Knicks were back to above 500, and that was not just a good night for the Knicks. That was a throttling of a Lakers team that dismantled the Nets on Saturday night.
You know what was great about it too, Dave, is that Canty's a Lakers fan too, which makes it even
really that's what we're going to do today. Why can't we just talk about the Knicks and how they beat a team that they should have beat because of how the Lakers are shorthanded? How it was a great performance defensively, and Julius Randle looked like the best player
that's
on
right.
the court.
That's
why
right.
can't
take,
we just talk
note.
About it
I
from
didn't,
that
I
angle?
Did nothing, Chris.
Why
I did
we,
nothing.
Why do we have to take shots at my Lakers fandom? I don't understand that. You know my team ain't right now, but it's going to be a different story in about a month when the playoffs start because we're going to have LeBron and AD back.
Because I saw you
Let's
yesterday.
Talk about that.
Because I saw you yesterday sitting all close, like you moved your chair extra close to Key because he had the Lakers sweatshirt on. And you wearing your Laker color shirt. I saw
well, that's
yesterday.
That's something we got in common. We're
I'm always
teammates.
Watching.
We're both Lakers fans. I mean, we can celebrate that, even though our team didn't look great last night. Why can't I be chummy with a guy that shares a similar fandom? What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying. It was.
Are you jealous? Is that what it is?
No.
Is
no,
it jealousy?
Jealous.
You don't want to share me with Keyshawn?
Why would I be jealous of a team that has LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Why would I be jealous of
He has Alec Burks and Obi Toppin. Why in the world would he be jealous of something like that?
I am a little jealous, Canty. I am a little jealous. On there with
be jealous.
Two
okay.
Lakers fans together. Looks like Zubin fell asleep outside the building. You picked him up and put him on TV.
Come on, man.
But that's fine.
Y'all ain't right.
Oh my
Do you wake him up before you walk into the building?
Y'all ain't right.
You really have issues.
This is really wrong right now. Come on, Dave. Get us back on track, Dave.
Listen, Chris, I didn't say anything. He's off the rails today. Let's get back. That's a great win. Come on. That is a great win from the Knicks last night. The Lakers had a terrific win on Saturday. You say that's a game that they should win. The Knicks were a 2-point favorite in that game. That was almost a pick 'em, and the Knicks throttled the Lakers last night. Throttled them.
You know what's nice? Because we haven't had this in a long time, and it feels like every single year we ask for just little things. We don't ask, like, you know, this team has to be a playoff team necessarily, or like, we're not looking at championships or long runs in the playoffs. All we ask for is little things. Like, play hard every night.
That's right.
A little thing.
That's right.
This team plays hard every night. Play good defense. This team doesn't play good defense. They play great defense. But more importantly, can we get away from where players just show up to Madison Square Garden and have, I mean, it point night, have career nights, and then I got to look over on the sideline, and midway through the third quarter, it's all fun and hijinks, and we're flipping the bottle. Like, it's nice to actually have a home court advantage, you could say, at this point, where this team actually, I mean, they're 17-10 at home. And when they have a lead at home going into the third quarter, guess what? They're undefeated. That feels good as a Knicks fan.
It feels great as a Knicks fan. And it's really like territory that we're never in as Knicks fans. But we're finally there. We're heading in the right direction. I mean, and I've said it for weeks. And I remember, like, you know, 15 games into the season where I said this team's going to the postseason. This has been a sensational season so far for the Knicks. What are they, 28-27, guys?
Yep.
There's 17 games left and they're above 500. I mean, they compete every single night. They give you maximum effort. And can we please take the notion of you can't rebuild in New York out and throw it out the window, please, already?
Well, it just shows, Dave, that if you have the right people at the top of your organization, that it is possible to get things turned in the right direction. And that's exactly where the Knicks find themselves. Coming into this year, people were projecting that they would be a 22-23-win team, and they're already at 28 wins, and we've got 4 weeks left in the regular season. So you like where they're going right now. And last night was an example of the Knicks not being laxed on a second night of a back-to-back, bringing the energy. That's something that Julius Randle, your best player, talked about. He made a conscious effort to be able to get going early just because he realized his teammates would feed off of it, and that's exactly what you saw. And on a night where R.J. Barrett didn't have his A game, you needed everything that 30 brought to the table. And then I thought Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel were big defensively for what they gave the Knicks. They had 19 boards, five blocks, and six steals. So them combined defensively was a huge difference in terms of them being able to create turnovers and getting out in transition and get some offense that way. So, I mean, it was a lot to like, a lot to take away from that game. But for the Knicks, with the identity of this team, it starts on the defensive end, and last night was case in point.
Yeah, I think last night was a perfect example. I mean, especially when you look at what the Knicks did shooting-wise. I mean, you guys mentioned
it. RJ
Barrett, offensively, RJ Barrett wasn't good. Alec Burks wasn't good. You shot less than 20% from three, which is horrendous. And you, like you mentioned, I mean, it got a little bit touch and go there late. But I mean, Randle stepped up. He had the N1 and everything else. And they pulled away. But I mean, that's, again, it's a testament to what this coaching staff has done. Because they'll be nice like this when you just don't shoot well, especially when you're not gifted offensively.
But absolutely.
When you play the kind of defense that they played, you always have a chance. You always have a chance. And, you know, I thought Derrick Rose was good early on that game. I'll tell you what, Elfrid Payton looked like something was on his mind because he was aggressive last night.
It's a
and
different offense when he's aggressive offensively, Rico. When he's getting in the paint and he's being able to score, it's a different offense. I mean, that just shows you how important the point guard position is for this Knicks team. And he's been inconsistent this year, but when he's got it going like that, like it's going to be a good night for the Knicks more often than not.
But you bring up a good point, and that's the thing. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, you get last night's Elfrid Payton. I mean, it's sensational. But how many nights are you like, please get him out of the game and get somebody else in there? He's unplayable.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to take advantage of a night like last
night. Absolutely. And you do, and they did. So good for them. I mean, that's a terrific win last night. To win the game on what they win. I mean, they have three in a row at home, right?
Yep.
Friday, Saturday, and Monday?
Yep.
Yeah, Memphis, a game that they probably shouldn't have won, but they pulled that one out.
That's
Toronto.
Right.
Toronto, again, they made that way too close. They should have cruised to a win there, but whatever. It would take a win. And then, you know, last night.
And it gets a little tougher moving forward, but so what? Really? I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be thrilled about where the Knicks are right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing too huge yesterday in the NHL.
No, there were some good moves. Teams got better.
Yeah, but no blockbuster moves. Taylor Hall, is that a blockbuster move?
I mean, he's one of the bigger names. Foligno was a big move. Mantha being traded was a big move. Yeah, I mean, again, for you, because you're so familiar with hockey, because you have your own hockey show.
What? Why? I don't understand why. What? Why at the drop of a hat? I'm trying to have a legitimate hockey conversation with you, talking about the deadline, and it goes back. This haunts you. The fact that I have a hockey show, it eats you up alive. Why can't you let it go?
Because I can't. I just can't do it. I don't understand.
I know you can't.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
He feels slighted, Dave. That's what it is.
Listen, but don't take it out on me. I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do wrong?
Well, someone needs to explain to me the benefit of actually having played in the NHL.
Well,
like, for some reason, there's really no benefit to that.
What? There's no benefit to having played in the NHL? Well,
apparently not. I mean, I don't get other things because I played in the NHL. I don't get a hockey show on my own radio station because I played in the NHL. I'm sure if there was an Olympic show, I wouldn't get that either. They probably have Steve Hart hosting that.
Well, Hart has so you're comparing me in hockey to Steve Hart and hosting an Olympic show?
No, I'm just saying. Uh-huh. I was exaggerating
that.
A little bit.
You feel away. I understand you feel away.
I mean, just like you would feel away if they had a sports trivia show where the whole show for an hour was ask the host sports trivia questions, and they
true.
Had Peter Rosenberg hosted.
I will tell you what, I would be upset, but I wouldn't take it out on you all the time. Like, why do you take this out on me?
Well, yeah, you would. If I was the one that was asked to host the trivia show, of course you would take it out on me.
No, I would not.
Absolutely would take
no,
it out
I
on
would
me.
Not.
Oh,
no,
stop
I would,
yourself,
why would I take
please.
It out on you? You didn't do anything wrong.
Because you'd be jealous.
But I wouldn't take it out on you.
Because we all know that you wouldn't take it out on the appropriate people. You wouldn't yell at Hurley or Tim. You'd be okay. Okay, guys, whatever you think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's my way.
And then you'd be tearing me apart on
the
air.
Because that's my way. Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm hurt. I can't, listen, I'm hurt.
Well, I'm sorry you're hurt.
And I don't know how you can't appreciate that.
Well, are there any other feelings that anybody else would like to share?
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to get off their chest before we get back into the Knicks? How are the freezers, Rick? Everything okay with that?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
What else can we help you with?
This is not something I like to talk about. I don't like to get this deep in my emotions this early in the morning.
You were breastfeeding at 6. You want to get into that?
It's not 6. Stop it.
Get that off your chest, so to speak.
Stop it. Stop yourself.
Nothing?
It's delicious milk. Stop.
It's fresh, wholesome milk.
Right from the udder.
Oh, my God.
Can't get milk like that.
All right. You know what? I apologize for getting into hockey talk. I didn't realize that the wound is so fresh and raw with you. That's my fault.
Yeah, we got to steer clear of that, Dave. Clearly, there's an issue there. It's a touchy subject.
Very, very much so.
Yeah. Oh, you know what is a good move, too? I will say this, too. A couple good moves, now that you bring it up. Pittsburgh getting Jeff Carter, I thought, was a good move. The other really good move that I like a lot is Colorado adding Dubnyk. Just because, I mean, that's the Colorado right now. Good team?
Yes.
Like, they're a really, really good team.
Really, really good
team. And Grubauer's been great, but just in case. You know what I mean? Like, just in case something happens to him, Dubnyk is a great backup.
All right, I'm told it to
the podcast. They say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
800-919-3776.
The puck is black. What?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's get to the next. Let's go to D in Queens. D, hopefully you don't touch on a subject which is sensitive to Rick. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. The Knicks had a great effort. Listen, Andre Drummond is garbage, and the Nets had him looking like Will. They need to improve their defense because the Knicks showed that the Lakers without LeBron and AD are very easy to defend. I mean, my goodness. Like, Randall was out of control, and they still busted behind. I mean, my God, the Nets was horrible. Like, no effort on Saturday.
You panicked about the Nets, G? Really, you're worried about the Nets in the big spot?
No, I'm not panicked. It's just They needed that. They needed an ass kicking because they were sitting there too cool in it, thinking that they already won a championship. Seriously.
Well, I think that's the risk you run sometimes when your team is. I mean, when your team is clearly looking forward to the postseason and trying to win a championship, is they'll be nice when they don't show up. In the effort, I mean, they did not have a great game against the Lakers.
No, which is surprising for a nationally televised game. You'd think if they were ever going to bring it, that would be the kind of game that they would bring it for.
Yeah, but I think Kyrie getting ejected had something to do with it.
Sure.
I mean, the Nets are one of those teams that they feel like they can flip a switch because they are supremely talented. And listen, I'm not going to tell them any different based on what we've seen from them, especially when they have two of the big three in the lineup. So I wouldn't jump out of the window with the Nets. I still expect them to be in the NBA Finals against the LA Lakers, and that's going to be a seven-game series. But I don't know that you can glean a whole lot from Saturday night's loss. I really don't.
I don't think it's anything, to be honest with you. Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
I'm with you.
Zero.
Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, it for the Nets fan, that's a little bit like is this? I don't want to say too good to be true because it's obviously that good. But when you look at what they're trying to do, right? The Lakers, you would imagine in the West, if LeBron James and AD are healthy, would be the team that you're most likely going to see in the finals, right?
Yeah.
And you saw what Andre Drummond did. Like, that would be the concern with this team is you got a guy, a big man like an Andre Drummond, or more importantly, when you're trying to get out of the East, like a Giannis, like a Joel Embiid. Like, how will this team defend big men like that? And the fact that Andre Drummond looked like a stud in that game, I can't imagine if I'm a Nets fan, I would be overly concerned, but I can understand.
Thrilled.
Like,
you wouldn't be thrilled, of course, but you know what? I think that Embiid could go for 35 and 18 every game, and you could still easily beat the 76ers in a seven-game series.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, if all three are healthy,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I disagree with you. I'm just saying that would the one question mark with them defensively would be how do you handle a big man like that?
Fair enough.
Yeah, but here's the thing the Nets can do, though. They can go small with Jeff Green playing center or Blake Griffin playing center and just run you out of that, like where your big man is always going to be out of position just because they're getting up and down the court.
You know who must feel like garbage right now, by the way, on the Nets? DeAndre Jordan.
Well, he's along for the ride, Rico. He has a chance to get a ring being on the team.
The finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you remember that whole thing. Remember when they first signed mm-hmm. here, and they brought him with them, and they were all bent out of shape because he wasn't starting?
Yeah, but they see how good Jeff Green has been when they go to that small lineup, similar to that death lineup that Golden State had. It's a completely different team. Like it is. That's their best lineup, Rico. You called it early on in the season. Like them going small and playing like that when they got the big three, that's – I don't know how you stop that.
You can't. You won't be able to stop it. It's an impossibility. All right, let's get back to the Knicks. Tom Thibodeau on R.J. Barrett validating his draft position recently.
Well, I love the guy we got. I know that. R.J.'s had a terrific season for us. He's great to be around, great teammate, great to coach. He's gotten better each and every day. Gives you everything he has. Puts the team first. You can't ask for anything more than that. And I think he's got a huge upside.
He's been great lately. I mean, he has been a terrific player lately. And when you get a real point guard, you're going to really see how good he can be.
You know what I love last night about him, too? And we kind of touched on this yesterday because someone brought up Zion and Ja Morant. And, you know, will R.J. Barrett be as good as those two? And you know what? He may not ever be as good as those two. Mm. But R.J. Barrett feels like a really good player on a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does all those, you know, all the dirty things that help you win. What I really liked about last night was, I mean, he was not good. I mean, he's 2-for-11, had 7 points. Do you see how fired up he was when they took him he was taken out of that game at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Like high five. Like this team, like you can tell, man.
They want to win.
Like how they've come together, like the chemistry. Even the one play where who was it that went down? Oh man. I'm trying to think. He went down on the baseline and the entire bench jumped up to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Markieff Morris is looking at them, like, laughing, like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah, because
they're having that much fun.
This is unfamiliar territory for this team. Now, you talked about Zion coming up later this week. Here's Julius Randle discussing the matchup against, I mean, he's a machine. Here he is.
Great player. Unbelievable with how he's able to get in the lane and finish and do a bunch of different things. So, you know, he's a tough matchup for sure. But, you know, I'll be ready for it.
You know what the amazing thing about him is? Do you see how efficient this guy is? It's not like he scores 35 on 35 shots. He scores 35 on 19, 20 shots. It's amazing how efficient he is.
Well, it's because he doesn't really shoot. Everything is a layup or a dunk.
He's like a power forward version of Ben Simmons.
No, he's like Shaq with the handle is what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Thibodeau said it. You don't see the size speed combination in the NBA like you see Zion Williamson. Like, that just doesn't exist. Usually you have one or the other, but when you have somebody that's bringing both to the table, that's hard to stop. And with the Pelicans letting Zion handle the ball in the open court more, like, can you imagine that guy coming downhill on you in fast break situations?
No.
Nobody's getting in front of that.
Absolutely terrifying.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Good morning, Lonnie. How are you?
Good morning, family. How are we today?
We're doing good, Lonnie. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good. Rico, listen, let me tell you something, Uncle Rico. You never get discouraged when it comes to hockey, all right? I understand ESPN tries to shut it down, but you never get discouraged. We always got to do that hockey, Uncle Rico, all right?
They beat me down, Lonnie.
Good question. No. They can never keep you down, Uncle Rico, okay? So quick question about the holidays. Do you think they really have a shot this year? And about the Knicks, all right, hopefully they get into the playoffs. We can only hope. I really think they're going to get in. But if they do get in, guys, do you think they can at least win at least one or two first-round games? Also, Canty, don't think I forgot about you, baby. I need you to do that Wednesday or Friday open. We can call it the wake-up tackle or something like that. Once again, it's always a pleasure, guys. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Yeah, we're still in negotiations for that. Hadn't figured out exactly when I want to do that and, you know, come to a show agreement on whether or not we want to do that. So we'll
I would sign on for that. I would.
Well, at some point, if he opens with this show, now he's going to start opening up on KJZ. Like, it's they'll rip that off.
That's fine.
They'll rip that off.
Hack everything that we do on DCR.
Yeah, they'll just rip off
everything. What time to CMT today on KJZ?
No, I think it's Canty or Canty, Dave.
Canty or Canty?
Canty or Canty is today. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Spoon wed or garbage. That's what they're calling it. It's embarrassing.
They didn't like the CMT, Rico. They didn't like it.
What?
Yeah, they trashed the CMT. Did it once, and then they felt like it was a little too offensive because you were going to be trashing people in the sports world.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
That's an embarrassment.
No, that was a real thing.
That
happened.
PC? Oh, it's offending people by track. Give me a break.
Yeah, that happened. That happened, Dave.
Who did that?
I'm not going to name any names, Dave. Unlike you, I don't throw my teammates under the bus.
Disgusting.
Probably the same person that came up with "Shake it, take it."
The same one and the same.
It's the worst.
One
is that,
the same.
That is the worst segment. I thought that was a great idea, but CMT was terrible.
Yes.
Oh yes. My god,
that is the worst segment in media history.
Oh man,
and we can't have you just say it. I didn't know what it means. Shake it. I don't understand what that means. You got
to
sing
it. I think they're just trying to have a spinoff of "Love It or Shove It" without actually calling it "Love It or Shove It."
Yeah, but I understand what "love it" or "shove it" means.
What are you shaking? Take it or shake it.
I don't understand what we're doing here. Shake it.
You know what? You know what? RJ's just telling me, and he's right. If they ever invited you on the show, we'd like you to do the show, and you did it. And they're like, "All right, we're going to do the shake it segment at 6:45." You'd be up there twisting around.
No chance.
Shake it, everybody. Shake
no
it.
Chance.
Yes, you would.
I would say on live television, this is the worst segment I've ever heard my entire life. I refuse to take part in it.
That being said, the check is so good for being on this show that I'm going to participate. That's what he would do.
I think you would do it. I think that you're all talk, no action. And all right, Rick, shake. Oh, I'll shake it.
Oh, you know what I would do then? It would go one of two ways. Either I would say, here's what happened. I would say,
so you know,
this is the worst segment
you would
ever.
Totally cave, and you would do it.
No. Here's what would happen, and you know this is true. Either I would do the first thing, which I said, which is I would just say, this is awful, I'm not going to take part in it.
I think there is a chance of that, yes.
Or I would do the second option, which is make a complete mockery out of it, and I would actually get out of the chair, and I would start shaking things that they don't want to see me shake on national television.
Yes, he would, Dave.
I would wear,
exactly
I'll
what
tell you what,
do.
If I knew it was the day that we were doing that segment, I would wear really loose-fitting pants.
Wear
with
some
no...
Dudes. You should wear some Dukes. Just wear some Dukes.
No, I wouldn't even wear Dukes because you can't see anything shaking in that. I would wear tearaway pants with no underwear on underneath, and I would be flapping all around. You would see it all.
Oh god!
And you'd be able to hear the sound. I'd be like this off my leg. That's what you would hear is that while I was singing, Shake It.
Poor Zubin would be terrified. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the Yankees won last night.
Yeah, I don't know how you. That's a hell of a turn, Dave.
Right?
Hell of a turn.
That was good. Good job by them. Gerrit Cole, very good. Gosh. Higashioka saved the day. Great win for the Yankees.
Offense wasn't good, though, again.
No. But Higashioka was great.
He's the home run stroker as your offense, Rico.
He's terrific.
Not to mention he's the personal catcher for Gerrit Cole. I mean, that just needs to be what it is, right, guys?
That's what it is now, though.
Higashioka is going to be the personal catcher for Gerrit Cole. So every fifth day, when your ace grabs the ball, that's the guy that's going to be behind the dish. It just makes sense, man, because it's clear that Gerrit Cole has that rapport with him, right? Like, early on, like, I mean, Gerrit Cole, he gave up a few here or there, but I mean, the last four innings he was in there was just flat out dominant.
He was
three up, three down, retired the final 15 batters. I mean, he was outstanding. That's why you paid $300+ million for a starting pitcher.
He was great.
For a guy that can go out and do that.
You got the win. Now, it was touch and go in the first inning, Rick, last night. I mean,
Dave. See, I knew you wanted to do that. That's why I wouldn't let you talk. I didn't want to let you talk because I knew you would do that. You want to bring that up.
That first inning was palpitation city. That was nerve-wracking yesterday.
But you know what, though, Dave? Here's the thing, and you laugh at me. The Yankees can't afford for Gerrit Cole to stumble even a little bit. Like, they can't.
No,
they're
I agree.
Already taxing their bullpen. They can't afford for Gerrit Cole to struggle early on in any of his starts. They just can't. He's got to be great, like he was last night, every single time he takes the mound. Just because you don't know what you're going to get after him in your rotation. And the way that they're using their bullpen right now, those guys aren't going to last till July.
But that's the thing, though. That for the Yankees is going to be what separates them from everybody else. I mean, offensively, when they're clicking, yeah, I mean, they got one of the best lineups in baseball. But more importantly, when you look at their bullpen and how good their bullpen has been, the last thing you would want to do is tax them to a point where they can't be at their best. Because when they're at their best, when this bullpen's at their best, this thing is lights out right now.
Oh, they have so many guys. I forget. I'm like, oh, God, Justin Wilson, that's right. He's on the Yankees. I mean, they have so many guys that they can go to. But you're right. Chris, no, I agree with you. If you need Gerrit Cole to be good, basically every start. He'll have the occasional start where he's not great, but basically every start. And you should. I mean, you paid him that kind of money, and he has been. He is great. He is nothing short of a great ace on this team.
Dave, the Yankees have played 10 games. The bullpen has pitched 44 and two-thirds innings. That's not sustainable. That's not sustainable.
So you're looking at every game basically as you're half and half.
Yes.
Right? Because you're right there. That's 4.5 innings a game. And plus you've had, well, not really road games. So for the most part, you're looking at half of your pitching in the first 10 games of the season has been by the bullpen. That is completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Something's got to happen. Like, the bullpen has been outstanding. They're pitching to a 1.61 ERA. I mean, it's been phenomenal. But how long can those guys have that kind of production if you're asking them to give you that many innings?
That's not going to work, and you've seen that in the past.
No, it's not going
to work. Remember what Zach Britton said? Remember what Zach Britton said during the postseason? He's like, they've seen us too much.
Yeah.
These teams have seen us too much. We lose our advantage. That's a problem.
It is a problem. It is a problem, especially if you play a team that you play so many times. Like, if you play a team in your division in the postseason, they've seen you 100 times. Gerrit Cole, Chris, you mentioned retiring 15 batters in a row. He said he wasn't even aware that that's how it was going for him.
Honestly, I had no clue. They were on it tonight. I mean, I wasn't afforded any ability to take any pitches off. So not that I should be taking any pitch off at any point, but certainly it was a bit of a tightrope walk early and just try to keep the blinders in and focus on what we were doing, try to keep improving throughout the game.
Can we get some Pat Mahomes sound and Gerrit Cole sound at the same time?
Right, right. They both have that Kermit the Frog sound.
Let me hear a little bit more from Gerrit Cole on Higashioka's big night at the plate.
He's locked in. He's locked in. Backside and pull. I mean, tough kind of pitch to you right now. It's red hot.
I think Mahomes is a little more Kermit-y than that, though.
You think so?
Yeah,
a little bit more.
Mahomes has a little higher pitch.
We put me on the run, and I threw it across my body and did all the stuff that I've grown to do as I've been in the NFL.
Now give me Gerrit Cole. Give me that one, then give me Gerrit Cole right afterwards.
He's locked in. He's locked in. Backside and pull. I mean, tough kind of pitch to you right now. It's red hot.
They're both right there. They're both
close.
Right
it's
there.
Close. It's close.
They both sound like Muppets.
Yeah. I think Mahomes is
more
Muppets.
This is a letter W.
Yeah, go ahead. Let us hear all three. We'll see if we can figure it out. Let's cuddle, marry, trash them. Go ahead.
He's locked in. He's locked in. Backside and pull. I mean, tough kind of pitch to you right now. It's red hot.
We put me on the run, and I threw it across my body and did all the stuff that I've grown to do as I've been in the NFL in my whole career. And I didn't have any...
Yeah, I'll trash Garrett Cole there. I would marry, if we're going to play it appropriately, I would marry Kermit as Kermit. I would cuddle Mahomes, and I would trash Garrett Cole.
I don't know how you trash Garrett Cole in that situation.
Well, who are you going to trash?
Canty can't trash his. I mean, his ace. He's not going to trash Garrett Cole.
No, what Dave is doing is trashing who sounds like Kermit the most.
How come you get me and he doesn't? You don't get me at all.
Oh, but it's ridiculous, though. You can't. I mean, of course, Kermit sounds like Kermit. It's ridiculous. I'm trashing Kermit.
You can't trash Kermit. He's a talking dog.
Garrett Cole and Mahomes do Kermit better than Kermit does.
Yeah. You do Kermit better than Kermit does, Kermit.
Oh my goodness. Garrett Cole, though, I mean, as far as importance to his team, especially now while the starting pitching is trying to figure it out, even like what was, and Canty probably had like the garden snake up to the TV. Like Willie Mays Hayes trying to get, please get through six, please get through six. I mean, because early on in that game, he was not efficient.
No, it was touch and go early, yeah.
Well, not even touch and go, but I mean, yeah, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, you need him to give you at least
six
innings.
You need him to eat innings, yes. Absolutely.
Have to. Because, I mean, the bullpen's been lights out, but at a certain point, like, you can only go to it. You can't ask the bullpen to get you 12 outs every single game. That's way too much.
No, especially with him. That's the one night that you need to get at least six innings, and he gave you that last night, thankfully.
Well, did you see the one at bat? I think it was Vlad Guerrero's second at bat when he took that fastball right down the middle for strike three.
Yep. Yes.
They showed him and he put the two fingers to his head. Like, yeah. I can't believe I just looked at that.
Yep.
His stuff is nasty, dude.
It's filthy. Yep. He's great. He's absolutely great. So last night we got to get into this, and I think it's appropriate and necessary. We know what's happening in Minnesota. Aaron Hicks, obviously the three batter, the center fielder for the Yankees, felt like it's too important to actually play that game last night. And I know a lot of people supported him, and I think rightfully so. And here is his skipper, who is completely supportive of Aaron Hicks.
Aaron's hurting in a huge way, and I think in a way felt like it was probably the responsible thing to take himself out, and knowing that it was going to be hard for him to be all in mentally in what's, you know, a high stake, difficult, you know, job to go out there and perform for the New York Yankees. And so I don't really even give two thoughts to that. My consideration is with Aaron and his well-being, and, you know, making sure that, you know, as best we can, we support him and try and be there as best we can for him right now. So this is something in the immediate that's real emotion that he's feeling. And right now I'm going to support that.
I got to tell you, if I ever played for someone as a player and they're my manager, that's exactly what I want them to sound like in defending me and supporting me.
No, and that's why Brian Cashman hired Aaron Boone, because he's a guy that's been in a locker room, he's been in clubhouses, and he's worked in the media. So you got to figure he's going to be able to strike the right tone, especially when it comes to a situation, a matter that has this type of gravity associated with it. Like with what they're dealing with Aaron Hicks, man, it's tough. I mean, when you have your everyday center fielder come to you and say, you know, I don't think I'm in the right mind state to be able to take the field today. I think it's best if I'm on the bench. Like that's a tough ask for an organization, because they're paying you to do a job, but they also have the awareness to recognize what's going on in the world and how you could potentially be affected by it. So you got to appreciate what the Yankees and what Aaron Boone are doing in this situation, coming out and supporting Aaron Hicks and backing his decision not to play yesterday.
You know what I appreciate, too, is the transparency. Like, it wasn't like Aaron Hicks isn't playing today because of personal reasons.
That's right.
Like, they told you exactly. Like, we had a conversation. You know, Aaron is deeply affected by what's going on in Minnesota, and he just didn't feel like mentally he could be where he needed to be for this game.
And that's why it bothers me so much what's going on with Kyrie Irving, to make the you know, I don't even know if it's the same thing.
That's not fair, Dave. That's not fair. You can't do that.
Why?
You can't do that because people process traumas differently.
No. I'm saying that they don't tell us anything that's going on. I'm not saying that he's taking time off. I'm saying that we're completely in the dark about what's going on when we're so willing to accept a legitimate reason for why a guy won't play.
Well, Dave, maybe Kyrie Irving's not comfortable with that being out there. I mean, maybe that was a part of the conversation that Aaron Hicks had with Aaron Boone. Like, listen, it's okay to let the media know why I'm missing time, why I'm not going to be available for the team tonight. Maybe Kyrie Irving is not comfortable with that.
Maybe he's not, but I think it's a lot easier for people to be understanding of why if you just tell them the truth.
It's not about everybody else's understanding. It's about that individual being able to cope with what they're facing, what they're dealing with. I think that's a little unfair. That's an unfair position for you to take.
Well, I don't think so. I don't. I think that it would be easier for people to tolerate and accept what's going on with Kyrie Irving if he was just honest with us. Maybe it is too much for him. But then say that. Say I'm going through something that I'm just not comfortable making public. I would be fine with that. There's something so big in my life right now, I'm just not comfortable coming forward with it.
I almost think it could be more powerful, too. Like, I think you have to really take a step back and understand. Like, for me as a white guy, or Dave as a white guy, to have someone like Aaron Hicks be this affected by what's going on in Minnesota, that's powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when you have, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL postponing games, I mean, it also, what that does too, is it exposes a whole different group of people who maybe don't follow the news closely or kind of, are just uber focused on sports, that all of a sudden now you have to ask the question, well, why is this game postponed? And then you find out the reason. And then once you find out the reason, well, I gotta find out more about this. And then you read the story. And then you start, and then the conversation continues. And then you start asking questions. Because that, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. That's the most important thing, is that you can't stop having these conversations. You can't get desensitized to it. Oh, here's another one, and just move along.
Yeah, you're right, Rico. We can't become desensitized to it, and we have to absolutely have to keep talking about it, but after having these conversations, we have to have something substantive come out of it.
Right.
Like, I mean, we're just talking, we're talking, we're talking. It's almost like we're talking in circles because nothing is being done in terms of creating more accountability within law enforcement, especially in situations that involve traffic stops where somebody that's an unarmed citizen is fatally shot. Like, at some point, that has to change. What happened to Dante Wright in Minnesota on Sunday, I mean, we're tired of seeing it. I mean, it's the same old story. And I get it. He wasn't necessarily cooperating with the commands of law enforcement. But after what we've seen the last 3 or 4 years, when you look at what happened with Walter Scott, when you look at what happened with Philando Castile, hell, when you look at what happened with Second Lieutenant Nazario in Virginia, it's over and over and over again. And at some point, somebody has to help explain to us why law enforcement has a tough time de-escalating situations like that, when you could also see the contrast in law enforcement exercising a level of restraint in the Capitol back in January with those rioters. Like, that's tough for black and brown Americans to process and understand. It feels like there's different treatment when it comes to the criminal justice system. And that's the part that's so frustrating about it. And so when we have these conversations, it's great to talk about it, but at some point we have to take steps toward action. Something has to change.
Yeah, I don't care what color you are either. I mean, that's a mistake that can't happen. What happened with, thinking you pulled out your taser and it was your gun? And
how do you make that mistake, though?
See,
that's the part I don't understand. I've held a taser a gun. I don't know how you make that mistake.
She's been on the force for 26 years too, but that's just that's something that can't happen
ever.
Like, the kid's dead, and you can, I mean, go back and forth and try. I don't care what color you are. That's unacceptable. Something like that cannot happen.
You're totally right. But and this is a conversation for a much different kind of show and a larger scope, Chris. But you say something's got to change, and I think we all agree with you. But I guess the question so many people have is how. How does it change?
Well, let's start with having more accountability within policing, Dave. Like, I think that's the first step. Like, this blue wall of silence and back in the blue, like, we've got to change the culture that's around policing, because clearly there's something that's broken. There's a criminal justice system that's not working for all Americans. It only works for some Americans. That has to change. I don't think that's that difficult. My skin color should not be weaponized against me. When you have unarmed citizens being killed by police officers, I don't understand why we have to escalate the violence to the point where we're talking about people losing their lives. So to me, accountability is a great place to start. And that's really what's on trial right now with Derek Chauvin up in Minnesota as well.
That's right. That's right. I think everyone's focused on that certainly as well. All right. It's a difficult conversation. We felt we had to have it, and we wanted to.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.